basically for having us. And, yeah, I see my daughter and grandchildren on the back row, too. Good to see them. Let's open our Bibles, please, to John's Gospel, chapter 14. John's Gospel, chapter 14. The Lord Jesus was with his disciples in the upper room, and one of the statements, one of the amazing statements that he made, is found in verse 6. I guess a verse that most of us, if not all of us in this auditorium, have read or have heard many times. John chapter 14 and verse 6, Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man, generic word, no one of mankind, no man cometh unto the Father but by me. Turn, please, to the book of Hebrews, chapter 6. Hebrews, chapter 6. And verse 17. Wherein God, willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise the immutability of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath, that by two immutable things, in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into that within the veil, whither the forerunner is for us entered, even Jesus, made an high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Or as that in Israel says, Melchizedek. Go back to the book of Philippians, chapter 3. Philippians, chapter 3. And let's break in at verse 9. And be found in him, that is in the Lord Jesus Christ, and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. Last night, late last night, and early this morning, as I was sitting in the family room thinking about what I would be sharing with you today and praying, I kept looking across the room to a plaque that is on the floor, leaning up against one of the pieces of furniture. My wife wants me to put it on the wall, and I need to do that, but I kept looking at that plaque that we obtained just recently. It's found, or the verse is found in Psalm 46 and 1. God is our refuge and strength, a present help in trouble or in time of trouble. God is our refuge and strength. I want you to think about those words, because I kept looking at the plaque as I was meditating on what I would be sharing with you today. And I want to share with you some thoughts about God being our refuge. We read in John chapter 14 and verse 6 where the Lord Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man, no one of mankind comes to the Father but by me. When I was in the Chapel Hill Hospital, one of the doctors tending me is one whose name I have mentioned for you for prayer, Dr. David Weinstein. We had three or four good conversations as we spent a good deal of time in the Old Testament scriptures. He's a practicing Jew, a young doctor, not a cynic, but every time he would come into the room, he had one or two more questions. And as I said, we had some good conversations. And in the course of one such conversation, Dr. Weinstein looked at me. He said, now, Mr. Schwartz, I know there are some people who think that the only way one can get to heaven is in and through Jesus. He said, "Now, what do you think?" And without any hesitation, he went on to say, "Are you one who believes this? What do you think?" I said, "Dr. David, it's not a matter of what I think." I said, "But I'm going to tell you what Yeshua, what Jesus said." And I referred him to John chapter 14 and verse 6. I said, "Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me." I said, "So it's not a matter of what I think. It's a matter of what he said." I said, "Now, Dr. David, either he is telling the truth or he's a liar. You have to come to one of those two conclusions. Either he is telling the truth or he is a liar." I said, "Now, it was, as I told you, the latter part of 1954 that I came to the point of believing that he is truth. And I received him as my Savior. I committed myself to him." And he looked at me and smiled. He said, "Now, what about all of my ancestors? What about all of your ancestors?" I said, "They'll have to answer to God for themselves." I was confronted with the truth. And I had to come to some decision as to what I was going to do with this that was said to be the truth. And I said, "You will have to do the same. So it's not a matter of what I think, it's a matter of what Jesus said." Now, for any human teacher to make a claim like the Lord Jesus made would be arrogant assumption. But Jesus could speak this of himself because he is the God-man. He is God in flesh. "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me." C.S. Lewis said, "A man who is merely a man and said the things Jesus said would not be a great moral teacher. He would be either a lunatic on the level with a man who says he is a poached egg or a devil out of hell. Either this man is the Son of God or else a madman or something worse. We can shut him up for a fool or spit at him and kill him as a demon, or else we can fall at his feet and call him Lord and God. But let us not come with the patronizing nonsense about him being a great human teacher. The Lord Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life." Now, we human beings have a threefold need. Spiritually, we are lost, and we are ignorant of God and the things of God, and we are spiritually dead. And we're in the process of physical death. Now, being lost, we need the way. Being ignorant and in error, we need the truth. And being spiritually dead, we need life. As it was expressed by one writer, "As the way, he offers to me the privilege of direct, unfettered access to the great invisible God. He leads me into the presence of the Holy One and teaches me to call him Father. As the truth, he brings God down so near to me that I can hear his voice and feel his touch, giving me a knowledge of the Father that disarms fear and inspires trustful love. As the life, he clothes my sinful helplessness with the power to become a son and gives me fellowship with God." Now, these are the three steps of God's grace ladder, if I can put it that way, linking us below to heaven above. We commence with Christ as the atoning one, because I'm thinking of him as the priest. We go on to learn from him as the teaching one. He is the prophet. And we end with him as the indwelling one. He is the king. as the way, the Lord Jesus Christ is our priest, our great high priest. As the truth, he is our prophet. And maybe I should put the definite article in front of it. He is the prophet. And as the life, he is our king. As the way, he gives me peace sinners require. As the truth, he imparts wisdom seekers desire. And as the life, he provides the holiness saints need. The Lord Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. God is our refuge and strength, a present help in trouble. Let us think about God being the way and the refuge. And in thinking of the Lord Jesus Christ in this way, I think of the cities of refuge. Now, since this is being taped, it annoys me sometime when listening to a tape and statements are made or verses are quoted without the reference being given. It makes for a little extra work on my part, so I take the time to give you the references. Exodus 21, Numbers 35, Deuteronomy 4, as well as chapter 19, and Joshua 20. Now, in these portions, you will read about the cities of refuge. We have some wonderful pictures in the Bible, and this is one of them, the cities of refuge. When the Jewish people went into the land of Canaan, they came up from Egypt, you will remember. They were in the Sinai Peninsula, and they came up on the eastern side of the Jordan River. That is, they came up in what we know today as Jordan, and they crossed from what we know as Jordan into the land of Canaan, or as we know it today, Israel, going from east to west. Keep that in mind. When they crossed over, there were 2.5 tribes who wanted to stay, and I'm going to speak of it as Jordan. They wanted to stay on the eastern side of the Jordan River. God allowed them to do so, but they were strictly charged that when the sound is given that you are needed, whether it's war or whatever the situation, when the sound is given for you to come, you had better come. And if you do not, be sure your sin will find you out. So God allowed 2.5 tribes to stay on the eastern side of the Jordan River, and the other 9.5 tribes went into the land of Canaan, or Israel. When it came time for God to divide up the land, he did so according to the tribes, except for the tribe of Levi. The priests were not given a portion of the land as such, that is, as the other tribes were given. But God appointed 48 cities for the priests. So though they weren't given a portion of land as such, 48 cities scattered throughout, 10 on the east side of the Jordan and the others on the western side of the Jordan, these 48 cities were Levitical or priestly cities. Now, among those, and I don't want to confuse you, among those Levitical cities, 6 were appointed by God as cities of refuge. 3 on the western side and 3 on the eastern side. And in both cases, there was a city to the north, a city to the south, and a city in between. So 3 cities of refuge on one side of the Jordan River, 3 cities of refuge on the other side of the Jordan River. Now, why were these cities of refuge appointed? Well, when you look up these scriptures that I referred to, Exodus 21, Numbers 35, Deuteronomy 4, as well as 19, and Joshua 20. It's in Joshua 20 you'll read of all six cities of refuge. Why were these cities appointed? God said, if a person were to kill another person unwittingly, I'm using the language of the translation, unwittingly. If a person were to kill another person unwittingly, the law said eye for eye and tooth for tooth. If a person killed another person accidentally, a person in that family could kill the one who was responsible. That was the law. But God had appointed these cities of refuge where such a one could flee. And that one would find safety in that city of refuge. These cities of refuge were for the manslayers who killed unwittingly. These cities of refuge were for the innocent. I want you to make a mental note of that. They were not for the guilty. That is, someone who perpetrated this act. Someone who determined to take another life. The cities of refuge were not for the guilty. The cities of refuge were for the innocent. Six cities of refuge. So I think of the Lord Jesus saying, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Now he is the priest, he is the prophet, and he is the king, but we are thinking of him as the way this morning, and as such we are thinking of him as the great high priest. God is our refuge. Now it seems the writer of Hebrews, possibly the Apostle Paul, but it seems that the writer of Hebrews was thinking of the cities of refuge when he wrote what we read in Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 18, we who have fled to Christ for refuge. And it seems that Paul was thinking of the cities of refuge when he wrote Philippians chapter 3 and verse 9. And being found in him, being found in Christ, not having mine own righteousness, but his righteousness. Let us think further about these cities of refuge. First of all, they were appointed by God. Now, when you examine the scriptures pertaining to the cities of refuge, you will find that God was very strict in saying what he did about these cities. That these cities were to be on an eminence, on a hill, so they could be seen from some distance. The way was to be kept open. Nothing was to hinder a person fleeing to one of these cities of refuge. And these cities were strategically positioned so that wherever a person might be, they would not have to go very far to get to one of these cities of refuge. And when one would flee to one of these cities of refuge, he would plead his cause, he would be allowed into the city, and the elders of that city would do some thorough investigation to determine whether or not the person is innocent or whether the person had predetermined to take this life. So the elders did their investigation work. When it was found that the person was innocent, now if the person were guilty, he would be put to death. But when it was determined that this person fleeing from the manslayer, this person is innocent, that person had safety in that city of refuge, in that priestly city. For how long? Until the death of the high priest of that day. These cities of refuge were appointed by God. Now, you know, when we come to our Lord Jesus Christ, who is our refuge and strength, the Bible tells us that he, the Son of God, was appointed by God from before the foundation of the world to die on a cross to shed his blood to pay an infinite price that only the infinite could pay, to accomplish eternal redemption for the likes of us. He was appointed by God from before the foundation of the world. And repeatedly God spoke from heaven saying, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I find all my delight." We read and marvel at such a verse of Isaiah chapter 53 and verse 10, "Yet it pleased the Father to bruise him." We don't fully understand that. But just as those cities of refuge were appointed by God, so the fulfillment of those cities, the Lord Jesus Christ, who is our refuge, was appointed by God. Also, the cities of refuge were to provide shelter from the avenger of blood. Now, in fleeing to the Savior, when a person either hears the gospel message or reads the word, and whether hearing or reading, faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word of God, but as one is exposed to the testimony of God concerning his Son, and the Holy Spirit of God does his work, and the person is brought to conviction, realizing that he or she needs to be saved. I need a refuge from the wrath of God. I'm going to flee to Christ. Just as the one in the Old Testament economy would flee to shelter in going to one of the cities of refuge, even so, the Lord Jesus Christ, the fulfillment of these cities, is our refuge. And when one flees to Christ, then that one is assured by the word of God there is now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. You know, it's wonderful to know the Savior. It's wonderful to be saved. And if you haven't fled to Christ, if you haven't called upon the Lord Jesus Christ to be your Savior, it might surprise you to know how many people are praying for you right now. So these cities of refuge were to provide shelter from the avenger of blood. And as I said, each city was placed on an eminence, on a hill, on a mountain, easily seen by all, from all directions. You know, the Lord Jesus said, "If I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me." I don't believe the Lord meant, "I will draw all men without exception." I believe he meant, "I will draw all without distinction. Red, yellow, black, and white." As the chorus goes, all are precious in his sight. And this is the reason we preach Christ crucified. He is the only refuge. He is the only means of salvation. For there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. I think of a local church in Burlington. And this local church in past years have broken all kinds of records for attendance. And it has been known over the years as a place that does preach the gospel message, Christ and Him crucified. And now a preacher has come in, and I'm saying this on the basis of what I have been told by those who used to go there, that he said that he doesn't want to preach the blood of Christ. He wants to take a different approach. When I heard that, I thought, what approach would he take? Paul said, "We preach Christ and Him crucified." The Lord Jesus Christ, God in flesh, was hanged upon a tree. He was lifted up. He died. As God dealt with him as if he were sin itself. For God hath made him, Christ, to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Also, the roads to the cities were clearly marked. These cities of refuge had to be easily accessed. The way to each city clearly marked, nothing to hinder the way. The Lord Jesus said, "I am the way," not "I am a way." Listen, dear friends, there are many ways to Christ. There's only one way to God and heaven, and that is Christ. If we were to listen to testimonies today, all the testimonies that we would listen to would tell us there are many ways to Christ. But there is only one way to heaven and to God, only one way to salvation, and that is Christ. And as I said to Dr. David Weinstein, it's not what I think, it's what the Word of God says. It's what the Lord Jesus said. And easily access. Now, Paul tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 3 and 4, that the God of this world, that is, the enemy of God and the enemy of God's people, is going about putting up his smoke screen, seeking to blind the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. I was telling my barber a couple of days ago, as he had talked to me about a certain book. He's quite a reader, and I've given him some books to read. And so in the course of talking about books, I mentioned this Da Vinci Code. I haven't read the book, and I don't want to buy it, and don't want to read it. What I've heard about it is enough. I don't want to read it. But I was telling him what I had heard on the television about this book, the Da Vinci Code. And I hesitate to even mention it, because mentioning it could cause you to maybe manifest some interest in it. And I don't want to do that. I think there are two writers on the book. And they claim that Jesus married Mary Magdalene. This was covered up by the Roman Catholic Church. And so on. And when asked, "Well, why don't you show proof positive that this is the case?" Well, they couldn't do that. I said to my barber, "Now, people will buy that book and read it, and they'll believe that. But they won't believe the Bible. And Satan is seeking to blind the minds of people, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them." And also, the cities of refuge were to remain, or the refugee fleeing to the city of refuge was to stay there until the death of the high priest. I'm anticipating your thinking. You might be thinking, "Well, wait a minute. Didn't you say that the Bible teaches that the cities of refuge were for the innocent?" That's correct. And the cities of refuge picture Christ, who is salvation for mankind? That's correct. Well, how do you reconcile these thoughts? Now, if the cities of refuge were for the innocent, not for the guilty, well, I am a guilty sinner, and you're encouraging me to flee to Christ for refuge. How do you reconcile that? Well, my friend, when you flee to Christ for refuge, when you call to him for salvation, when you take God at his word, believing the testimony that he's given concerning his son, and on the basis of this testimony you cry, "Oh God, I want to be saved. Lord Jesus Christ, I'm fleeing to you for refuge. I'm guilty." Then he wants you to know that your guilt was imputed to him. And when you flee to Christ, he imputes to you his righteousness. And God declares you righteous. And because you're righteous, you're justified. So much so that once you have fled to Christ for refuge, the question goes out, who is able to bring any charge against God's elect? It's God who justifies. That's wonderful, isn't it? That's wonderful. To know that though I am guilty, the Lord Jesus Christ has dealt with my guilt. He paid an infinite price. And I enter into the good of it when I receive Him as my Savior. And the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth me from all sin. And the righteousness of God is imputed, is reckoned over to me. And I'm declared righteous. And thus I have refuge in Christ. For how long? Until the death of the high priest. How long is that? Hebrews tells us He ever lives to make intercession for us. Isn't that wonderful? The Lord Jesus Christ is the way. He's the way of reconciliation for mankind and available for all who will call upon His name, irrespective of class, of clan, caste, or color. Christ is not only the way, He is the only way. He said, no man cometh unto the Father but by me. And I'll quote Hebrews or Acts 4 and 12 once again. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Christ is the way. Christ is the only way. Christ is the way right now. I've said this before, but if the Lord Jesus Christ were to walk into this auditorium right now and stand right here, you would probably come running up to Him and fall at His feet, and you would say, oh, Lord Jesus Christ, save me. Well, though He is not here that we can see Him with the physical eye, you must do by faith what you would do in actuality if He were here. And you can do that right now. Christ is the way right now. And Christ is the way everlasting. Lead me in the way everlasting. Psalm 139 and verse 24. We were in that chapter at the early meeting. Lead me in the way everlasting. The Lord Jesus Christ will continue to be the way. As our great high priest, He lives forever. He will never be displaced. The Lord Jesus said, I am the way. He is the way out of a guilty past. Regardless of what sins you're guilty of, regardless of what would be written in the record of God against you as a sinner, when you come to the Lord Jesus Christ, the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, will cleanse you so that when God looks down, and I'm thinking of the text of Scripture now, when God looks down into you with His x-ray vision, man looketh on the outward appearance, God looks on the heart. When God looks down into you with His x-ray vision, He will see you holy, unblameable, and unreprovable in His sight. The Lord Jesus Christ is the way out of a guilty past. The Lord Jesus Christ is the way through the troublesome present. In Job chapter 5 and verse 7, we read, yet man is born unto trouble as the sparks fly upward. There are difficulties in life, and as believers, we are not exempt from these difficulties or troubles. And I often say the Christian life is an obstacle course, not a 100-yard dash, not a 220, 440. It's an obstacle course. And God directs and determines whatever obstacles as are necessary to increasingly conform us to the image of Christ. And there are problems in life. There are troubles. But this one who is the way and who is our refuge has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. And He is the way through the troublesome present. He is the way up to the Father in prayer and worship. We believers have access to heaven right now. And it's on the basis of the Lord Jesus Christ. We can approach God and the throne of grace. Not a judgment throne for us who have fled to Christ for refuge. And He is the way into heaven and the inheritance. One day we're going to leave this life. And how wonderful to have this living hope to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Because the Lord Jesus Christ is the way. There came to that heavenly city where joy and bliss awaits, there came an earthly pilgrim to the keeper of the gates. Then there rang a searching question from the keeper loud and clear, "Say, have you a reason, pilgrim, that you should enter here?" "I come in the merits of Jesus," was all that he replied. The pearly gate swung open. They welcomed him inside. Someday when my journey is ended, I'll leave for that better land. When I fought the final battle and on heaven's shore I stand, as I view that golden city and long its joys to share, I will have my answer ready so I can enter there. "I come in the merits of Jesus, who for sinners bled and died. For me the gates will open. They will welcome me inside." Why? Because the Lord Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. And no one comes to the Father except through Christ. Are you saved? Have you fled to Christ for refuge? Have you by faith called upon Him to be your Lord and Savior? If not, dear friend, do so today. Let's look at our hymn notes to number 252. And we'll sing just the last stanza, the third stanza. "Yes, Jesus is the truth, the way that leads you into rest. Believe in Him without delay and you are fully blessed." Just the third stanza of 252.
Yes, Jesus is the truth, the way that leads you into rest. Believe in Him without delay, and you are fully blessed. Only trust Him, only trust Him, only trust Him now. He will save you.
Father, we do thank Thee for our time here today. We thank Thee, Father, for loving us and for providing salvation full and free. Not because of what we are, not because of what we've done, but in spite of these. We thank Thee for giving Thy well-beloved Son who willingly gave Himself to pay that infinite price and who is the way to salvation full and free. And who is our refuge. And He's our great high priest. And when we flee to Him, we have everlasting life. Father, we thank Thee for those who have fled to Christ for refuge. And for those who are still thinking about it, we pray that the Holy Spirit of God will do such a work in their hearts and lives today that they will call upon Christ before this day is over. Dismiss us with Thy blessings, we pray in the Savior's name. Amen.